Thank you for having me in this capacity this evening. It's a delight to be with you. Please turn in your Bibles to the little letter of Paul to the Colossians. And I'd like to read just one verse. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Yes, this will tie to the theme of prayer. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your grace, for the gift of song, for the gift of singing your word. We pray, Father, as we talk about this just a little bit, that we'll gain an understanding of your desires for us in this delightful task that we have of singing your praise. So be pleased to bless us, strengthen us, and help us, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. It was Calvin's firm conviction that prayer had two sides, or has two sides. The prayers that we utter, as we have in the service so far, and the prayers which we sing. And Calvin held that the song of the congregation was very important. And one reason that he felt that it was important was because it was a form of prayer before God. But he was also convinced that if there was going to be music, which he understood to be a gift of God, that that music ought to always be accompanied with text, that music ought always to be accompanied with words. And the words, of course, that, again, he preferred were the words of the Psalms. I think there was a certain rationale behind what Calvin thought and taught. If you look at a dictionary under the topic of music, you might find a citation something like this: a collection of notes formed into a melody for the purpose of expressing emotion. And I think in large measure that this is what Calvin was after. Interestingly enough, if you look at a different dictionary, you'll find a slightly different citation. A collection of notes gathered together to form a melody to evoke emotion. So one of the questions is, which is it? Is the music to evoke emotion, or is the music to be utilized to express emotion? Well, if you're like me, often to questions like this, I'll answer yes. But as it turns out, on the instrumental side, it appears that instrumental music, by and large, evokes emotion. And part of the reason we speak about instrumental music being sad or happy is that we impute emotion to the instruments and the music. But now in vocal music, which Calvin was preeminently interested in, he didn't want to denigrate instrumental music. It has its place. But he was concerned about vocal music and the singing of the congregation. And for his part, I think the first definition applies, that the vocal music accompanied with text, accompanied with words, accompanied with songs, was a way to express emotion. With this in mind, let's look briefly at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Paul here, I think, has preeminently in mind the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. But then he goes on. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. You see, Paul, the apostle, is telling us that there are two ways in which we may let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. The first is by sitting under the preaching of the word of God, by studying the word of God and listening to the teaching of the word of God. And the second is by singing the word of God. And of course, to understand what Paul is saying here about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you have to get into Paul's mind rather than putting an interpretation on Paul. Think about what Paul might consider these words to mean. And it turns out when Paul speaks about psalms, hymns, and songs spiritual, that he has the psalms of the Old Testament in mind. The psalms, of course, are called psalms. The psalms are called hymns. The psalms are called spiritual songs. When you examine the titles of these songs. So he's talking about the psalms. And what did Calvin say about these psalms as they were sung? He says they are an anatomy of the soul. It's very likely that Calvin got this idea from Athanasius, who spoke similarly about the Psalms, indicating that as you read the Psalms and as you sing the Psalms, there is an opportunity to express every conceivable emotion which might arise in your heart due to the variety of things that transpire in your life. And so this is the idea that the congregation, you, as you sing, as we sing together, as we sing to God, sing these psalms, that God is giving us an opportunity to not just sing songs, but to express the deepest longings of our own hearts and to express the deepest emotions that might bubble to the surface in our own hearts. With this in mind, I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Psalm Selection 22a. Of course, here is a psalm that the Lord Jesus Christ very specifically takes upon His lips in His suffering. And the tune to which the psalm is set expresses this kind of emotion. And as you sing this psalm, you can identify with the sufferings of Christ. And you can understand that Jesus Christ identifies with you in His sufferings. And you can express the deepest sentiments that you have with regard to sin imputed to Christ, your sin imputed to Christ, and what Christ has done for you. And so this is a little workshop, isn't it? I'd like us to stand and sing this selection. Please stand. Please be seated. When you sing with regard to the grief of sin, and you realize the gospel that your Father in heaven will freely receive you if you come to Him in faith and trust Him. And He'll say, I am your Father. You are my son and my daughter. I had a falling out with my father years ago. And it was so severe that as I was in the Army, I went to the personnel people and asked them to take me out of the United States, away from my home, away from my family, as far as they possibly could. And that would have been Korea. They did. They acceded to my request, amazingly enough. And when I came home 13 months later, I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't want to see my father. And so when I got off the plane in Philadelphia, I called my mother on the phone. And I said, "Mom, I'm going to take the bus from the airport. Would you pick me up?" She said, "Yeah." I knew the spot. She knew the spot. And when the bus arrived to the appointed destination, and I got off the bus in the dark parking lot, there were just a few streetlights there. And there was one car, as I remember, in that parking lot. And a man got out of the car. And he bent low when he saw me coming out of the bus to strain and look. And when he saw it was me, he ran. And I ran. And I fell on his neck and he fell on my neck and we wept together in that parking lot. And he said, "Denny, welcome home. Your Father in heaven says to you, welcome home, my child, when you trust Him." It's emotional. That's okay. Psalm 25. Here is a psalm to lift your heart and soul to God, to pray to Him, to sing to Him, to give yourself to Him. Let's stand again and sing. Amen. Please be seated. Coming to God in faith and trusting Him, you know that He does receive you. And as I said earlier, the Lord says to you and me, welcome, welcome. I will be a father to you and you will be a son to me. And of course, that's the whole matter of adoption. What was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago when Dean had some of us stand up here? Dean asked me, said, well, why are you and Irma up here? I didn't know any adoption connections. Some of you know the adoption connection, a grandson and a granddaughter. The granddaughter came into Gail's home by way of care through the state. And the little boy, Zach, was adopted at birth. And Issa, when she saw that Zach was adopted, she would ask Gail, when will I be adopted? When's my adoption day? And when adoption day came, there was a party, of course, and a celebration. A few months later, Irma and I were in the van with Gail and Zach and Issa. And Issa said to her mom, Mom, let's sing. And Gail reached up and punched the CD player. And they began to sing this song, Happy Adoption Day. And I want to read to you the chorus. I think I'll be able to do this. The chorus goes like this. Oh, who would have guessed? Who would have seen? Who could have possibly known? All these roads we have traveled, the places we've been, would have finally taken us home. So there's three cheers to you, and let's shout it, hip hip hooray, for out of this world, so tattered and torn, you came to our house this wonderful morn. And our family was born. Oh, happy adoption day. I couldn't sing it. When they sang together in the van. Oh, happy adoption day. Oh, happy day, friends in Christ. When God says to you, welcome home, happy adoption day. Yes, it is emotional, but ought not it to be that when you're actually not part of just an earthly family, but a part of God's family? And how can you rejoice? How is it that you can give praise to God and vent your deepest joys to the Lord? Take up the psalter and sing. Sing from your heart to the great God of all who has made you a part of His family. And you can sing. Oh, not exactly in the same words, but you can sing, Happy Adoption Day. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 103. which speaks so well about the forgiveness of our sins and our reception into God's family. 103b. And what we'll do is we'll sing the first two stanzas, pause for the benediction, and then give praise to God with stanzas 3 and 4. Let's do that, please. Here are just a few words which God gives to Aaron and Moses in directing them how to pronounce the benediction and what it is. It's number 6, that familiar benediction. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people Israel and invoke my name over them." Often when I pronounce the benediction, folks will look at me a little quizzically, because usually I take my time when I pronounce the benediction. And there's a reason for this. This is not a perfunctory act. This is not the sign, the service is over now, we can go home. This is God's way of saying to you, I bless you. And I do so, so that you will belong to me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be very gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.